Cybersecurity is an ever-growing field, and representation within it matters more than ever. We here at the Other Side of the Firewall podcast strive to highlight those movers and shakers and glass ceiling breakers, people of color who have made it to the other side of the proverbial firewall into those senior and C-suite level positions. Aside from interviews of IT professionals just like you, our crew will have fun discussing the latest and greatest news, measures to protect yourself from bad actors on the interwebs, and sprinkle in some games entertainment as well. Now with that out of the way, let's get to the show.
Happy holidays, everybody. My name is Ryan Williams, and today, as always, I'm joined by Shannon Tynes.
What's up, what's up?
And LaVon Maynard.
Good day to you.
Today's show, we will go pretty in-depth supply chain attack on SolarWinds. What we've been doing to, or not what we've been doing personally, but what has been done to mitigate further exposure to this global hack, and briefly touch on schools potentially hacking student cell phones. But first, how's everybody's week?
Man, it's like Groundhog's Day. I know I say that every time, but it's like Groundhog's Day, man. And I find myself waking up later and later every day. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, so before you even ask, my study time was not on point this week because I know the question is coming. Because I usually do it in the morning before I log in to do work or before I have to go into work. And there are times I look at my clock and I'm like, I can get another 15 minutes in, 15 turns to an hour, you know what I mean? And I'm just like, nah, I gotta log into work now. And then that pushes my day back farther. And then it's playing with the children, talking to the wife. Like I'm losing a lot more time that I shouldn't be losing because I'm waking up later. So, but I mean, nothing too crazy, right? I mean, other than the stuff that's coming out that we're going to talk about here in a little bit, but nothing too crazy going on. Everything is good. Can't complain.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. What about you, Levon? Same thing with me. It's just another day in paradise. It's been pretty busy at work. I feel like people trying to wrap things up before the holidays, and I always wait till like the last minute, and knowing that people are taking vacation the next couple of days, next couple of weeks. So it's been a little bit hectic at work, but I've been getting through. How about yourself, Ryan? You've been enjoying the lifestyle overseas?
so far so good. You know how holidays get, people start, like you said, start to slow down. So it hasn't been terribly busy, but it's been terribly rainy. Apparently it's rainy season over here. So it's been raining every single day. So that's the thing.
Dang.
But aside from that, everything is cool. I started playing The Last of Us Part Two, so I'm getting my game on.
Yeah. I got that one too. I need to finish it up.
Yeah. I just started. I was like, oh man. It's bleak. It's a very, very dark game, but I really like it though. Yeah, but
it kind of looks like.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say it kind of looks like looks like 2020 in that game. It's pretty much post-apocalyptic. People just running around like trying to survive, getting like rations, and then coming back into their little. The homes real quick.
Yeah.
Is it that bad out there, LeVon? Hold up, let me know. Nah. I'm like, yo, as far as I know, I think everything is cool, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, people trying to avoid viruses, and then people trying to, like, I guess it's, you know, it's got some similar elements to 2020.
Yeah, they couldn't have timed that any better. Like, they definitely didn't read the room before release. But it, so far, so good. It's fun. And then I started getting my study on again. So I'm still trying to take the CHFI before the end of the year. But I mean, I could take it after the beginning of the year. It's fine as well. Like, as long as I knock out before the first quarter is over, I'm happy.
That's good.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just knock it out. So I know it's tough sometimes trying to set aside time and kind of really focus on it. But I think from your degree, you probably have a lot of information already. Hopefully it's still, you know, still in the, you know, you still haven't, like, or you haven't forgotten anything yet, but it's very similar to some of the stuff we did together in the in that master's degree program with WGU. But
yeah, so
got it, man.
I think I got a lot of it still up there, so I just gotta polish it, make sure I'm good for sitting there through that test. this 2 weeks. So like last episode we talked about FireEye and all of that and the compromise and all that good stuff. And then it just keeps on rolling. More and more information is coming out. More and more just crazy cyber news after I just got done complaining about the only thing happening is ransomware. But nah, 2020 is not done with us yet. So for topic one, I give it to you, Shannon.
All right. So actually, what we're going to reference here is coming from the site, The Hacker News, actually. And for anyone who hasn't heard it, and this is your first time hearing it, I don't know what rock you've been under, but what they say is that U.S. agencies and FireEye were hacked using a SolarWinds software backdoor. All right. Now, the reason this one is scary to me, okay, is because it was a supply chain issue, right? So what they say here in the article is that state-sponsored actors allegedly working for Russia have targeted the U.S. Treasury, the U.S. Commerce Department, and National Telecommunications and Information Administration, NTIA, and other government agencies, right, to monitor internal email traffic as part of a widespread cyber espionage campaign. Man, I can't talk today. And this is very scary because in this instance, people that were using this product were not doing anything wrong, so to speak, if that makes sense, right? Because here's the thing, like the attack surface for this, it was at confirmed as of right now, 18,000 customers of SolarWinds were affected by this, right? Like I said, to include FireEye, Microsoft, Treasury Department, Commerce. Actually, one I forgot earlier was the Department of Energy, right? And if anybody who knows Department of Energy, they also deal with some nuclear stuff, you know what I mean, for us as a nation. So that's what makes that kind of scary. And like I was saying before, it's a supply chain attack, right? So what that means is they were able to get into how SolarWinds uses how they create their patches to distribute to everyone, right? And that's what makes it scary, because you were going to a legitimate site. It's not like you were going out to the dark web or something trying to find some patches or something you didn't want to get from their site or do something along those lines. They were infiltrated intelligently, you know. They hate to give them credit for this, but they were infiltrated intelligently for this, and it's believed to be Russia. I mean, we have a lot of our senior administration officials that are coming out saying, yeah, we're pretty sure it's Russia, right, that did this. And these are guys that are looking at this all the time, right? So I'm not going to sit here and say, okay, it's not them, but people that are in the know and that are putting a lot of time into this are saying that it is, right? And for this has been going on actually longer than what you would probably like to see. They're saying as early as, well, this article in the Hacker News says as early as spring 2020, I believe it was, that this all started going down, right? But it was another article I read earlier today, and I want to say, I think it was CNET that said that they think they may have been doing this. They may have been practicing this and did a dry run back in October of 2019. So they did a dry run without actually implementing any software, like doing the whole backdoor thing, and then went and tried it back then, back in October of 2019, and then did it for real, like doing the real thing in the spring of this year. So this one's nasty, because again, nobody did anything wrong. Everybody, if you went and did your patches like you were supposed to, you could have been caught up in this, right? And if you go to the article that lists the affected parts of SolarWinds, because it wasn't SolarWinds as a whole, there are some pieces of some of the support tools for their systems that were not affected, right? And SolarWinds actually did put out a security advisory for this, telling you what you need to do. But yeah, this is something scary, man. This is crazy. What's your thoughts, Lamont?
Yeah, I think it is pretty crazy. It's pretty intense. The I don't know, the whole thing with the like you mentioned, the fact that it was, I guess essentially they took over like whatever system that was providing these updates, and they, you know, they put a bad update out there. So like you said, people were unaware of what they were doing. They're trying to keep the system up to date with the latest security patches and things like that, but it's actually a patch that actually made your system vulnerable. So it's like, it's such a you know, kind of contradiction to what you feel is like you know, a good habit as an IT professional to make sure your systems are patched. But at the same time, I'm kind of curious, the system that was compromised with the updates, like how, you know, if there maybe there could have been more done there to try to identify, you know, some compromise on that system that maybe was missed, especially something that's so important that, you know, maintains like updates on, like, I guess, global SolarWinds systems. You want to make sure that that system has probably the most security available compared to any other system out there. But I think it's a very interesting story, and I think it's one of those things that I think has been going for a long time as far as the kind of the fallout from it. Besides the fact that people, this supposed Russia group was able to get into all these systems and access internal networks, you got to imagine all the things that they may have left behind, all the modifications they made to these networks. It's going to have to be so much forensic investigation on all these systems that have been touched, all these companies. They have to look at everything to see, oh, this looks different from what it used to be. Like, they changed some data around, they retrieved some data, they implanted some backdoors and some other systems that they don't, you know, they have to pretty much scrub the whole environment, all the clients, all the servers. They're going to have to make sure there's no residue, no potential, like, I don't know, follow-up from this group to be able to access their internal network again. And I think that's, I don't know, I think I heard some security experts say that could take years for them to actually, you know, many companies to actually
to know the extent of what it was, yeah, like how far in it.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you real quick, man, just to throw a correction out there. I said CNET. It was actually Kim Zetter from Yahoo News that reported the dry run back in October 2019. Right. So my mistake on that.
Oh, no, it's all good. Yeah, no, it's just such a big thing. You can really, like, talk about this, like, all day, because it's, like, there's so many elements to it. And and I know there's some things about the what was it called? Like, they had some MFA. I think some part of some Cisco MFA, like Duo systems they were using. They were able to bypass it because they had, you know, gain access to that inside some of these networks. And it's just amazing because once somebody gets that far inside the network and they have, you know, whatever if they're able to elevate their permissions inside the network, then they pretty much have like full reign and they can just, you know, do what they want. No matter what the system is, even if it's, you know, MFA server, they have full access to this MFA server and they were able to like compromise credentials because they can do whatever they want. They can retrieve the MFA tokens or whatever and modify them so that they can access these accounts and log in as whoever they want to.
And it took a fair amount of investigation for them to figure that out, actually, because it looked legitimate. Yeah. When they first went in there and looked at it, it looked like legitimate, like a legitimate action that was accomplished, right? And they were like, well, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. It didn't prompt for this, that, and the third, you know, as multi-factor authentication does. And yeah, they had to dig a little bit deeper to see, oh man, well, this was corrupted here, you know what I mean? With the duo SID is what they called it. That idea.
Right.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I know obviously Microsoft was involved. There was some things with the emails. I think from what I've heard from some of the feedback from Microsoft and them, that none of their systems were particularly compromised. Like, it wasn't like they hacked like Microsoft's systems themselves, but they got credentials with people that had access to Microsoft systems or had like email accounts and things like that. So they were able to like log in as a you know, regular user, go into the email and then access, you know, whatever person's email data, as well as like any other kind of like system that they had out there, maybe some, I don't know, SharePoint or whatever systems they had on their network, they were potentially able to get into that.
As well as create some email accounts, right? That were legit in the domain. That's another thing, right? So, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, once you get the, you know, once you get in that, you know, get past all those barriers and you're inside the net, we can, and you have, you know, local rights. It's like anybody else, you can do pretty much whatever you want. Just kind of build off of whatever like access you have already and potentially inflect, you know, affect the entire network. So if you have something that's like, I don't know, if you get access to like a domain controller or something that's like, you know, something that's authoritative in your network, and then all of a sudden, you know, you just have full reign of the infrastructure. But it's a concerning thing. I think, I don't know if somebody said that this was like one of the biggest hacks in a very long time to ever like infiltrate, you know, U.S. networks. I don't think it's been anything in this scale in a long time.
Yeah, I think they said it was the biggest breach in a decade, just because how many different vectors they were able to use to infiltrate these systems. So SolarWinds is the biggest piece of this, right? With the 300,000 customers being vulnerable, they found out that, like you said, 18,000 did have this Sunburst backdoor that allowed them to basically collect information on anything that the SolarWinds system touched. So all their infrastructure and any other node but also what's coming out is some more of the FireEye tools that that were out there have been leveraged to, like you said, disrupt multi-factor authentication. So like that's basically they have the keys to the kingdom right there. As well as now they're seeing that VM also has some vulnerabilities that they were using to basically get into these systems and collect whatever information they wanted. So full scale invasion. And we won't know, like you said, for years. Collected right now, I think Shannon mentioned the amount of work going into all the forensics, right? They're saying that it's going to cost millions of dollars. Because these people are working overtime, people are having to rebuild entire like security trusts. Like, because if they're able to get in there and create email accounts, then you have to put that server down. You can't trust any of it. Mm-hmm. It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like how much they information they could potentially have gotten. So you have, like you said, the Department of Energy that controls the nukes and what have you. They said that it was only the administrative side that was was hacked. Yeah.
They didn't get the launch codes. That's a good thing, right? They didn't get the launch codes.
That's right.
but had they been in the system long enough, God knows what they would have gotten or exfiltrated data-wise. So they pretty much touched every single important government agency and then all the big companies. So it's huge.
And then, I heard that the people from Microsoft were doing some things where they took control over a domain that was actually being used by these hackers to basically send back data from the compromised network to say, like, it's like a check-in. The check-in will pull data from this URL to say, hey, I need some information to tell me what to do now. Tell me what to connect to. So they're using this URL to kind of retrieve instructions. And so I heard that I think Microsoft took over this domain and they have been using it as these devices, as these networks ping into this URL to actually identify who's been compromised and actually get in contact with these companies and infrastructures to let them know that, hey, we've identified that you have some agent in your system that's trying to connect to this phony domain. And, you know, we've identified it. We think that, you know, you should start to investigate your systems and prevent any further compromise. So I think that's actually, I think that was pretty, cool thing. I think that was kind of interesting. I hadn't really heard of that process before of kind of like, you know, just kind of taking over that domain and just kind of monitoring the connections from these sites so that people can be kind of informed of what to do next. Because imagine just being in your network and you don't even realize you've been affected by this. You're like, oh, I think everything's fine. We haven't seen anything, you know, in our network. And all of a sudden you get a call. Hey guys, I think you need to check your stuff. I think we noticed a little activity. and then you can, you know, act accordingly.
Yeah, that is pretty cool if they're able to leverage that. I mean, so, I mean, the good part, I guess, of any breach that is not too damaging, because we still don't know the extent of how much damage was caused, but is that you get a new set of tools under your own belt, right? So now they're able to reverse engineer what this state-funded actor was able to do, and then learn from that and create new tools and new ways of defending the network. So this was one of the most sophisticated breaches, like I said, in the past decade, which is funny because remember we talked about the, I think it was the COVID attacks, like attacks on COVID research and on scientists trying to pull information, and the nuances that were in that article, I believe it was last week, because like this breach is so big, like it's taken over my my memory of past events. But I think what we discussed was like Russia was doing more of the brute force attacks, and North Korea was doing more of the sophisticated social network attacks. So in this case, if this is Russia, like they definitely have showed out. You know what I mean? Like this was so nuanced and so clever that no one saw it coming. And we still, like next week, we might have like a whole nother segment about some other breach that happened during this same time frame. Like we just don't know how long this will last.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Kind of like I mentioned too, I feel like, you know, it's going to be something going on for a long time, and that they're going to have to like scrub every little nook and cranny, and they'll probably find some other systems that were compromised that were kind of like, I don't know, chained off of this. You know, depending on how sophisticated these attackers were, they could, you know, they can have full reign, and they can have all kinds of little backdoors that if they set up and modify some code somewhere that maybe like an average like system like security scanner cannot find without like knowing that like the details of like some of the inner workings of the code.
So here's the thing here though, right? So like even though we found it this time, right, when it comes to operating in the future, how much is this going to slow us down? Because now we can't just rely on, okay, this site is secure, right? I go to this site. And honestly, when it comes to DOD, that very seldom, I want to say, do you actually go to the commercial site itself. There's always a middleman, right? But even with that, like this went from the commercial site to the DOD's middleman to the systems that are out there in the wild, right? So now what's going to be the second and third check from this possibly, right? How much is this going to slow down patching operations when something comes up, right? When it comes to a zero day that needs to be, like, there's no fix for or anything like that, how much longer are you going to have to wait to get that complete because of this, right? So even though they may have fixed their supply chain, we may be a little gun shy after this.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Like I was reading an ASAP article. I did not grab the URL for it, but basically the gist of what they were saying was that this vulnerability wasn't necessarily a vulnerability. Like it was a vulnerability because they were able to get into the supply chain, then install this backdoor called Sunburst. However, when you use SolarWinds, at least in some organizations, you disable your security, what am I trying to say? Your McAfee or your other type of host-based.
Your host-based security system, yeah.
Yeah, you turn those off because SolarWinds as being a threat, because it's actively talking to devices, pinging devices, it can shut a device down. So typically you don't have two antiviruses on one system, because they'll see each other as being viruses because they have virus definitions and things of that nature. So for you to wholeheartedly trust, I don't want to keep bashing SolarWinds because it is dear to my heart right now as an infrastructure guy, but a monitoring system, it could have been a WhatsApp Go and Netpool, could have been any of these other companies, right? SolarWinds is just the biggest. You have to have some trust in the system for it to work properly. Like, you have to trust that this monitoring system is protected, and that when you are using it, it's keeping your devices safe, because you can't have multiple host-based security systems. It's just not possible. Like, SolarWinds will not be able to do its job. There has to be some faith in there. I don't know what they're going to do about it. I don't know how they're going to go about. Maybe they create another protocol, but anything you create can easily be, well, not easily, but in this case, can be used against you. It can always be weaponized. So I honestly don't know. And then on top of it, while we're fighting this fire, right, that that group of people have set fire to a different building. So everybody's focuses on SolarWinds and multi-factor authentication and VMware, right? And then now they're working on something else. So it's a continuous fight. It's just the way of the future, right? That's why there's such a high demand for security professionals. That's why they say there's like a million of us still needed out the wild. So for those thinking about getting into IT, or especially in the cyber, I mean, this is your opportunity. Like,
you're about to become very much needed, right? You're about to be very
right.
Like, you were more important than ever. Like,
yeah.
You're hitting the Department of Energy. It's like, we need a bunch of really, really brilliant people to see our vulnerabilities before the enemy finds them. Because whoever this group is, they're pretty clever. Like, they did some stuff you've never seen before. Like, with FireEye had called the FBI. FBI calls FireEye. It's going the opposite way. You know, that's how shook they were. And now you see it's blown up to being several different companies, all being vectors of attack. So yeah. Scary stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's interesting, like, what you mentioned about, obviously, restoring the faith and the confidence in this company to be able to secure their assets. It's going to take quite a bit. I mean, you know, maybe some companies, you know, I don't know, could potentially decide if they want to change who they're using for these services. But at the same time, it's like, this kind of stuff can happen to like any company. And it's just a matter of, I don't know, a matter of what a hacker is willing to do and what's available to them to access. And if maybe somebody doesn't pass something correctly, or if it's something just, you know, if there's actually just a technical gap in the service they're providing that doesn't stay secure as it should, you know, somebody's going to get in it, and it can, you know, can affect pretty much any system. So it's for them to, I don't know, it kind of reminds me when, what was it? I can't think of the credit monitoring,
Equifax, wasn't it?
Equifax, yeah. Yeah, when they got hacked, yeah. Everybody's like, you know, looking at Equifax, like, what the heck, what are you guys doing? But I think with that case, I think they found that they were actually kind of complacent about a lot of things. But nonetheless, you have to do all this work to try to restore faith in your product, make sure that people are confident that it's going to be protecting their network. And I think a lot of times companies will make sure that they inform the customers of breaches like this to try to also, like, you know, give them confidence that if they do find things, they're going to let them know, and that they're going to give them all the details to kind of spell out what happened and what they're doing to correct it in the future. And I think that's something that companies can do, and what this company has done to try to restore that faith and let people know that they are aware that this happened. And I don't know if you guys mentioned it earlier, but I think that they discovered this in part of the FireEye, like the fact that they got the tools from FireEye. I think when FireEye started doing investigating to how somebody got their tools, they ended up finding out, you know, things about this compromise, if I remember correctly. And that they kind of used that. So it's kind of interesting that, like, another breach kind of helped them identify, you know, this breach. And it's, I think they said something to the effect that if they did not have those tools taken from them, that they would, it potentially would not have known about this for a much longer period of time. So it's definitely concerning. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. So I think this leads really well into patch notes. It's kind of ironic, though. Like, this is a very, very rare case where patching your system made you vulnerable, right? So people should not be scared to patch their systems. Like, that is the protocol. Like, you need to patch your system to make sure that you catch vulnerabilities. This is, again, very rare. You pull the patch that was actually a backdoor. But since then, I gotta create like a patch note bumper or something like that. So something that sounds cool, a little jingle, but
a little jingle,
catchy. But Orion Solar Winds, I think last week or this week, pushed out a patch. It's 2020.2.1 HF2. I believe HF stands for hotfix. Yep. And that is what they're pushing out. To pass those vulnerable systems. So again, 300,000 customers, 18,000 had this backdoor, and they pushed out a hotfix for it. VM has also pushed out a hotfix for their vulnerability. And I believe there's been some MFA work done to fix Duel's issue as well. So patches, please go get those. So that way you can be safe. And if you feel as though you may have been compromised, then I think that this holiday break is the time that you need to figure out what the scope of scale is, because you may need to do a little bit of work to get them completely out of your system. Again, lots of stuff by Microsoft. I think it's called a sinkhole, right? When you take a domain over or take a domain down. So Microsoft's done their due diligence to make that happen, and then they're also telling the public, hey, you may have been, affected in these ways. And now Orion is pushing out the patch. So it's still up to you, being the technician, the security professional, or whatever in your company, to address the scope of scale you've been affected, and then patch out the enemy, basically.
Absolutely.
So completely 180 from what we've been talking about, right? Because I have a feeling that we'll be talking about this next week, too, as more stuff rolls out. Like, yeah, they took over Teslas, and Teslas are
right. Yeah. Yeah, I know we talked about that a couple weeks ago. That's like scary. Just imagine somebody's like automated driving vehicle just flying off of some highway somewhere off a bridge or something. Like, what the hell?
Right. But I guess a good segue between the two would be espionage, perhaps. Like, I read an article where somebody was saying this was an act of war from a nation state. It's not an act of war. If there were kinetic effects, then obviously things would ramp up. But people have been spying on people since people had stuff to hide. So,
yeah, for sure.
It's definitely not that, but it is espionage. And, hey, listeners, please remember that you can support this podcast directly by becoming members of the show's Patreon. Here, you'll be able to listen to the podcast 7 days early, completely ad-free. However, in these trying times, we understand that you may not be able to become a Patreon just yet. In that case, please listen to the show once it's available on free feeds, leave us constructive feedback, and share with your blurred friends and family. Thank you. I thought that this article that I found on, I want to say it was Gizmodo, entitled U.S. Schools Are Buying Phone Hacking Tech That the FBI Uses to Investigate Terrorists. So your school district may be purchasing what they call mobile device forensic tools, or MDFTs, to use on your kids' phones. So it was pretty creepy. I did not know this was a thing. And then we've been discussing our group as well. So basically, what Gizmodo did was they heard about this. Like, they saw a school district purchase like a couple grand worth of MDFT hardware. And then they started to look into school districts and their purchasing habits. And they found that large districts, like in California, Texas, so on and so forth, are purchasing these devices that are able to, they're not the military grade spec, but these are able to pull data in the clear, so data that's not encrypted, as well as they're able to pull deleted files In one such case, a student was asked for their phone. They gave the phone up because the school believed the student and his or her teacher were having an affair. They were able to pull some deleted texts where they kept saying, I love you, back and forth. And they were able to arrest and then, you know, obviously try this this teacher. So, I mean, that's a good thing, right? You got a predator
off the streets, right? Yeah.
But that's
right.
How much are you willing to give up for your how much freedom are you willing to give up for protection, right? So what they're finding out is, so your cell phone is protected by the Fourth Amendment. I think, yeah, it's the Fourth, right? Search and seizure. So yes, your cell phone belongs to that as well. So if a police officer asks you for your phone, you don't have to unlock it for them. You're like, no, I refuse. Unless they have a warrant from a judge has to issue a warrant for that cell phone. But that protection is not for kids in school. There was a Supreme Court case. Let me make sure I get this right. New Jersey versus TLO. I did not research what TLO stood for. But basically, they ruled that schools don't necessarily have to have a warrant to search the student's phone as long as officials have reasonable belief a student has broken the law or school policy and the search is not unnecessarily intrusive and reasonably related in scope. So they ask your kid for the phone and your kid is scared and gives them the phone. They're good. They can pop it into the MDFT and they can start pulling pictures and whatnot. What's scary about that, obviously, is an invasion of your kid's privacy, but you as a parent or guardian then can concede to this happening, as well as anything they found on that phone that's incriminating can then be used against them. And what I read in the article from one of the experts was kids do a lot of criminal stuff, like not truly bad, but things that are blurry misdemeanor type things with the phone because A, they're kids, and B, they may not know any better. So they could be being incriminated by their school wrong. So what are your thoughts?
So I had to look a little bit more into this, right? And so I think one of the reasons that they're coming along and doing this, so do you guys know what stingrays are? So stingrays, the digital analyzer that kind of gets cell signals and whatnot and could read stuff off the cell phone. So
okay.
L3 Harris
okay.
is actually stopping support for this, or actually they stopped support for this. I think it was in June of this year. So what it is that people can no longer use stingrays to kind of get some of this information they used to do. And mostly it's law enforcement and military that were using them. But and also the technology, the 5G technology that's coming out that, you know, everybody has to have the new 5G phones or whatever. Makes it harder to use with stingray, or actually impossible to use stingray. Stingrays can't like invade that signal. So
they can intercept the signal.
Right. So this is kind of a workaround to that. So if you had a school that was using, or local police departments even that were using that, with 5G coming along, it was going to be obsolete anyway. Because L3 Harris said they weren't supporting it and it was going to be of no use to them, right? So they got this device that can't do anything for them. So this is the route for them to go. This is the next step for them to go to try to make this happen. It's a little weird. Like, so with the school thing, so my thing, and Ryan, I think it was me and you that kind of went back and forth on this. Like, okay, I understand with like the Fourth Amendment and everything. And if you're on school grounds, you know, you don't have to consent to the search. But then it becomes, okay, does a minor, like if you're going to do this on a child that's like 12, do they really know what they're giving up by doing this? Like, are they reading the rules to say, because I go to school, I could just give you this phone or whatever? Like, this is one of the things, I think lawyers are going to fight this out in court. You know, it's the whole, what do they call it? Fruit of the poisonous tree, when you obtain something illegally, right? What's going to start happening for the lawyers for these pedophiles, pretty much is what they are, that are out there, you know, being predators to these students. So it's going to be a little weird. I think we're going to see a little bit more of this coming out because of that.
Right. And so my fear, like, you know, I have kids who have phones. And I don't think they're doing anything wrong with their phone. But kids are whatever adult tells them to do. So it's a resource officer or the principal or somebody else and ask them for their phone, they're most likely going to give it up because they don't want to be in trouble, right? They're not going to call me right. first and say, hey, what do I do mm-hmm. in this situation? They're just going to give their phone up. Right. And I think the implications being that kids, like, they're little people. They have reason, function, but they don't always do what they're supposed to do. So my fear is that kids taking pictures of themselves and of their friends or sending texts or not sending hate speech, but, you know, I mean, they're things that are on the fence will get them suspended, expelled, and potentially criminal detention and things of that nature because they're kids being kids with technology. Like, they were doing it before. They just, obviously, things are everything's saved on your phone. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, now this is, there's receipts to their wrongdoing. And like, when we were kids, you would just get away with stuff. And then you would learn later on as you grew up, like, oh yeah, I'm not supposed to be doing that. I think it's unfair as well as I feel as though it may target certain groups as well, because we always have to be careful of that. So what school districts are buying this? Is it in the affluent school districts and schools, or is it in the underserved or underprivileged districts? And I didn't do enough research to find that out.
Right.
But yeah. I lean towards it not being in the schools where the parents have money to sue the hell out of you. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think you would want that fight. So,
sure.
I would assume this will target individuals who cannot fight back necessarily. I'm glad they're catching, you know, pedophiles, stuff like that. Like, I don't want those in my school, obviously. But if you're not finding texts from teachers, then you need to leave the rest of it alone. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But then
here's the thing. Yes, but I don't know how that works with law enforcement, right? Like, when it comes to warrants, if the warrant is specifically looking for something, if they find something else, can they act on it? Like, if they go into someone's house looking for drugs and they find guns that are illegally owned, can that be used against them, right? Like, you didn't go in there looking for that. So can you say, okay, I found this in the course of the investigation?
Yeah. So I'm obviously not law enforcement, but I think you can. I think in certain instances, like you said, if you come in there looking for drugs, you don't find drugs, but you find illegal firearms. I think they can then use that against you. I think that's – I don't think you necessarily have to only find the things that are on the warrant. I think that you can, a crime is a crime, basically. But I think that a lawyer has ammunition to get things thrown out that weren't on, weren't being suspected or weren't on warrant. But again, if you don't have the means to hire a lawyer who's gonna put in that type of time to get you out of it, then I think you're just up creek.
Yeah, good point.
So completely off topic, but I heard a story from a police officer in the past where he said that they got a guy at a gas station for a DUI. Like, he went in the gas station, he bought something, he came out stumbling. So they stopped him. They're like, hey, it looks as though you're impaired. And then they administered the DUI test. He failed it because he was drunk. But he had money. So when the case went to court, they basically got him out because they said, how do you know he drove that car to the gas station? They're like, well, it's his vehicle and he was at the gas station. They're like, yeah, but what if somebody dropped him off? They're like, well, why would somebody drop his car off, pump gas for him, and then walk away? And basically, like, the mirror was good enough, was so good. He was like, did you touch the hood of the car? Was the hood still warm? You know what I mean, like, he had all these small little details, and the cop was like, "Not doing any of that." And he was like, "Well, basically, you don't know it was him," and he got away with it. But he was affluent; he had money, so he just went to jail.
Right. Yeah.
So I would be fearful that, something right. like that would happen to these kids too. I don't think like a public defender's not going to take the time, hours and hours, to figure out different ways of getting you out. They're just going to be like, well, if you take this time, you know what I mean? It'd be less time than if we fought it and lost. So.
Right. Yeah, I think it's interesting too. Like kind of like you mentioned before, some of the other things they'd find on people's phones, and I know kids, you know, nowadays, and even back in the past, in the olden days, people maybe download some was it, like copyrighted material, some music or movies and things like that in the phone, and I don't know how that affects. I don't even know the laws and how kids get affected by that if they like. Analyze on the phone and they see a bunch of
stuff,
Disney
yeah.
movies and all this kind of stuff they download. Pirated content that they got on their phone, music and albums and all that kind of stuff. I don't know how that affects. Like, would they have to report that too? Would they be like, would the kids be in investigation? Would it affect like their parents, or they're like, I don't know how that right. that would trickle
down. And
that's
down, the thing, if they're minors, do they go after the parents? Right? Do they say, okay, you're responsible for that?
Right.
Is it like a truancy thing?
When Napster was a
yeah,
thing,
that's what I
parents. They're like, yeah, it's a minor, but this is your internet, and Metallica's out. I think was it Metallica or like soon yeah,
I quarter million dollars? I think it was Metallica. It was one of those big rock bands. I remember that, or I don't know, AC/DC or something like that. It was one of the big ones.
Yeah, like I
right.
Single mother did not cause you $250,000 in losses.
In you losses. Know? Yeah.
We got one album. Like, charge me the $12.
So yeah, right.
So yeah, I honestly, right. We're pontificating about the law. That's one thing. I'm if it's not cyber law, if I didn't see it in one of these textbooks, I have no clue. That's why I'm so cautious about it, because these little freedoms we give up. Due to technology, and now the schools have an ability to look at your unencrypted data and what have you. It's just scary, you know what I mean? Like kids are like, I don't want to call them dumb, but their brains aren't developed enough to know, like, oh, if she sends me or he sends me a picture, inappropriate picture of themselves, like I now have child porn. You know what I mean? Even though I'm a child, because I have this picture, I have pornography. You know what I mean? And you could get the same adult would get, just rightfully so, if he or she had that material on their phone. Like you're not protected just for being a minor.
Mm-hmm. I can remember years ago, there was a person that got in trouble. They took pictures of their own children. So like, I don't know about you guys, but my family has several pictures of me in a bathtub as a baby, right?
Right, right.
Like there was somebody years ago. I remember,
Oh, I've seen it.
It's on the World Wide Web. But it was years ago, somebody got in trouble because, and this is how long ago it was, they got pictures developed of them taking pictures of their child in the bathtub, you know what I mean? And it was the person at the mm-hmm. film development place, I think, that turned them in. And even though it was pictures of their own child, and they were like, no, this is innocent, you know, I think they ended up getting a little bit of time for that, I think, if I remember correctly. And I was just like, wow, like, how far are we really going to take this? Now, mind you, nobody's going to a film development place now, right? This is how long ago that was. Nobody's doing that now, right? It's just on your computer or whatever, you know what I mean? Or up into the cloud, right? But it is.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, like, how far do you really take that? Like, let's use a little bit of sense when we go to court for these things, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a really good point. I mean, you're exactly right. It's just the fact that, you know, people would get in trouble for that nowadays, or, you know, if somebody caught you like taking pictures of your kid in the bathtub, you'd be like, what's going on here? But it's like, you know, obviously, and not to get too much into it, but it's like, I think it all is kind of like, obviously dependent on, you know, scenario. It's not like you're taking over sexualized pictures. Yeah. You're just like, hey, this is my kid, you know, his or her first bath or something. I don't know, whatever. And you know, you're taking like a picture or video of them, like, you know, playing in the bathtub. It's different from you know trying to make something sexual out of it. You know, even though you may see, you know, you may see something there, but it's like, it's one of those things that people have to be careful of. And like, it's some people kind of overreact to those kind of just seemingly innocent, like baby pictures that you never know what somebody else may take offense to it and think that it's some sort of like child pornography or something like that.
A child's memory, or you know what I'm saying? It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, right. Yeah, like I said, it's that foot in the door. Yeah. It probably also goes in the speech as well. Like, yeah, if you're in front of your teacher, that's a problem. But what if you're speaking? I mean, hate speech is not. I can't remember the terminology, but like hate speech is not protected speech, or is it hate speech is protected speech? I can never remember, but obviously you should not be saying those things regardless. But what if, you know, I mean, kids have no sense. So they're texting each other back and forth. Like, what if that could be considered a hate crime? You know what I mean? Like, the ramifications are all over the place.
But it's not a hate crime until you act on it, right? So I think hate speech is protected. You just can't take any violent actions on it, right? Or something like that.
I don't know. Yeah. Like that's like tell that we don't do that because we don't know the rules.
Yeah.
people who do that, they know the rules. They're like, nah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
I can say that.
That's right. Yeah. I'm not sure about that one either.
But yeah, I this was a crazy week. I think there's going to be more. More is going to come out.
Yeah.
If this is the stuff that they're advertising that was compromised and leaked prior to patching it out, then what are they not talking about? So I think going into the new year, we're going to see a lot more information concerning whoever these state bad actors are and how much information they're able to collect.
There will be things you just won't see, right? Like because they hit government entities, like there are things that will be classified for 50 and 75 years, you know what I mean? That you ain't gonna know.
Right.
You know,
got to keep things kind of hush hush. I don't want everybody to know what happened. All the like the nitty gritty details of like, oh, they accessed this particular system that had this amount of data or this particular like customer's information.
It is. It's a crazy world. 2020, man. 2020 is rough. Hopefully, 2021 is all rainbows and butterflies.
That's right.
Before we get out of here,
that's right.
I haven't checked in with our gaming experience, Levon. Like, what are we playing?
That's right. So on today's segment of What is Levon Playing? We got it. We've been playing a little bit of I've been playing okay. Destiny a lot, Destiny 2. Just because I actually took a break from it. It's one of those games you got to kind of grind. You kind of do the same thing over and over again and try to level up your characters and get items and all this kind of stuff. So I've been playing that quite a bit. But at the same token, my wife surprised me, gave me an early Christmas gift, got me the new Miles Morales Spider-Man video game for my PlayStation 5. And I hopped on there for a little bit just to, like, I just wanted to test the waters real quick before I like fully commit, because I still need to beat. I have like this list of games I need to get through, but I just played like the first mission and I was, you know, pretty blown away by a lot of the presentations, like the quality of the game and how they presented the action scenes and all that kind of stuff. And if you played like the first Spider-Man game, yeah. I think either Shannon or yourself were talking about that last week. It has like the same kind of like just. You know, kind of top-notch, like, action scenes where they're, you know, flying across the town, across the city and trying to stop bad guys and all this kind of stuff. But it's really well put together so far. And I'm going to get into it. I want to beat Last of Us 2 first. And I'm going to get into Spider-Man Miles Morales next. And I got a bunch of Xbox games I want to get through, too. I got, like, the Xbox Game Pass, so it has, like, a bunch of games that you can download on there. So I want to play some of these Yakuza games and some other stuff I downloaded. Even like Control, like there's a PC game, Xbox game called Control. Yeah. It's on PlayStation 2, I think. I want to get into that one. And one thing I wanted to mention alongside of, so Destiny, and I'm not sure if you guys have heard that recently they announced the name of the Space Force members.
Yeah.
They're going to be called Guardians. Yeah, Space Force Guardians. Yeah, I thought that was cool. I mean, it's funny. It's, you know, not to get into like some political rant or anything, but I think people have their opinions about Space Force in general, but the name itself is kind of funny because it actually relates to Destiny, and they call the people that right. the characters that you play in that game called Guardians. And they are, you know, it's pretty much based in space. So people have kind of been relating that to like, oh, they're using Destiny as like a staging ground for this military initiative, you know, using it to, everybody's gonna be guardians and then we're gonna be like, I don't know, like fighting aliens in space and all cool. kind of stuff.
Like when I first heard like it, I wanted to get upset and I was like, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I gotta see what they
yeah, it's
what gonna the convention of the ranks is gonna be though. Like it's gonna be like Guardian First Class. You know what I mean? Master Guardian, Senior Master right. Guardian.
Yeah. Like Colonel Guardian. Yeah. Right.
I definitely check that out.
I think it's gonna be interesting. I'd be interested to see how they do the rank instruction. But it's kind of funny. I never really understood the whole premise of like, because I thought the Space Force or the operations that they are going to be handled were kind of handled by the Air Force, but I don't know if they just want to kind of separate the duties and make it more like isolated, that only like there's a dedicated branch, a dedicated section that's focused on space, and it's not like you know, a combination of Air Force maintaining like our airspace right. on the planet Earth, as well as right. our orbital yeah, airspace, you know, space.
I see where they're going with it. Like the implications of the future are pretty cool to me, because at first I didn't like it, right?
Yeah.
I'm an Air Force veteran, so I'm like, nah, man, just keep that where it's been at. We don't need no other branches. But then the more that they do, the more I'm starting to see that. Not to say that these things were put on the back burner, they just weren't the primary goal. So to give it to somebody else and say, hey, listen, all these things that we work either laterally or we've been pushing back because we have more pressure, and give it to somebody like this is going to be your primary job, shows like they hit the ground running with it. Like other countries already have space forces. So China has one, right? And China's already doing stuff with their space force. You have Russia.
Yeah.
So Russia demonstrated, I want to say 5 or 6 months ago, they maneuvered a satellite close to another satellite that was decommissioned or not functioning properly. So another Russian satellite. Like, so they moved a satellite next to a satellite, and then they ejected something from that satellite and destroyed the inoperable satellite. So they literally have space weapons. Like it might not be that oh, wow. refined yet, but if your satellite can run yeah. up on me and start shooting, then we got, you know what I mean? Like there might be something there. Especially with, you know, like we rely on GPS so much and things like that.
Right, right.
But other countries are taking it more seriously than we were.
Yeah.
I think that this is a step in the right direction. I think this is a good move.
Yeah, 100%. Understand the need for like maintaining space, like maintaining space and understanding and securing it and securing our devices that are in space. It's 100% like a necessary activity, and I think just maybe sometimes the I'm trying not to get too political, but I think it's going to be like depending on the needs of the government and how they want to organize the troops and to maintain the space can all be dependent on what people think is the best course of action. But absolutely. I think it's 100% necessary. And I'm sorry for that tangent. I just I thought about it when we mentioned Guardians and I was like, oh yeah, yeah. The Destiny and the Guardians and now they got the Space Force Guardians and pretty soon you'll be able to control Guardians from your PlayStation controller, or Xbox controller, and be able to like maintain the Space Force. they're gonna get some tips from the developers of the game to organize the Space Force like infrastructure.
No, I think that's cool.
But I'm sorry, I'm going on a tangent.
Because I was gonna add in a Like, this FireEye and all that stuff got so big. I had an article about Russia that I was going to add, where they have, oh man, what's it called? It's an anti-satellite weapon on the ground. You know, they have like anti-tank, and they have like air and surface to air and all that good stuff. So they have a surface to air missile that they can fire from the back of a truck that takes out low orbiting satellites, like the kind of military uses. And I was like, oh man, that's crazy. Like, it's not necessarily cyber, from the perspective of like they're not hacking,
right?
Our satellites. I hope they're not hacking our satellites. But it's more like we lose a cyber capability because they can just blow it up. Like, it's not even finesse, you know what I mean? Like, this whole breach is like showing like cunning, finesse, and whatnot. But they just got a rocket. You like GPS? Well, your GPS is gone now.
Right.
Yeah.
We've taken that out. It's like your satellites enter the wrong neighborhood. We're just gonna like take care of that real quick.
But all right, I like what we've been playing. Oh, I appreciate that. Get your Miles Morales on as soon as you get done with The Last of Us. Let me know how much we enjoy it.
That's right. That's right. I have more information for you on the next segment.
We can make some music for that.
What's LeBron playing?
I'll figure it out.
Right.
Do the Mario music?
Shannon,
exactly.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can Shannon, what are you playing? You'd be playing the CDK, the Book of Knowledge. Is what you need to
be. That's what I need to be getting on. I know. That's what I need to be doing.
That's right. Right.
But get your study on. Show, man. I appreciate you you guys coming in. I know the holidays are hectic as well as work is hectic. With just 2020 in general is crazy. But thank you for showing. Thank you for always bringing your expert opinions. I also like to thank the patrons we don't have yet, but on the Patreon, if you want to hear this 7 days early, like, so actually before I do all that, I'm probably going to take a clip or a snippet from our conversation because it's so timely. I'm probably going to push that out to social media. It's just like a good 2-3 minutes just so people are like, oh, man, you're talking about something, you know, relevant to right now. I should probably join the Patreon.
So
I'm probably going to try that out for the first time. But, if you're listening to this and you're not a Patreon member, which there are none right now, you get this 7 days earlier, completely ad-free, as well as we'll have other content in the future. But right now we're focused on the main objective, right? Join the Patreon. If you're not in the Patreon yet, you just want to keep in touch with us. We also have a Twitter, Instagram, a Facebook, all that good stuff. Everything's anchored by the website. So go to www.theothersideofthefirewall.com. And from there, you can hit our Patreon. Which is also called The Other Side of the Firewall. You can join you can follow our Twitter. That's @on_firewall. The Facebook, which is also The Other Side of the Firewall. The Instagram, which is The Other Side of the Firewall, The Other Side of the FW, shorthand for firewall. You can reach me on Twitter @securityguy. And what about you, Levon?
Obviously, you hit us up on those locations and ask some questions. If you want to hit me up directly, just hit me up on Twitter at Levon Maynard, LEVON Maynard. And appreciate you guys for listening. And thank you for setting this up for us, Ryan and Shannon. Thanks for getting this platform to voice our opinions and thoughts on these cybersecurity incidents.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. Look, I have no social media, so I'm the phobia of the group, right? Like, I'm the one that's like, nah, my business don't need to be out there. I'm good.
Right. Yeah, you're so secure. You don't even have Facebook. You don't have any kind of social media.
I haven't got a footprint.
You can't hack me.
You all live out in the woods?
Right, yeah. Right. I'm off the grid.
No, I'm joking.
I'm off the grid.
I'm not that far off the grid. Look, I would probably without my internet and some type of streaming service. You know what I mean? I ain't gonna lie. But no, I mean, I don't have any social media or anything like that. But
yeah.
I did want to wish everyone out there that's listening, depending on when you are listening, it may be after the fact, but a happy holidays, whether it be Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever it may be. Enjoy the holiday season. I know not so much with family, you know, nowadays. Yeah. Maybe it is, depending, you know, on how you do things, but I just want everybody to be safe.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
appreciate that. Same to you. Same to everybody.
That concludes the show. Thank you for listening.
Happy holidays.
Hey, listeners. Please remember that you can support this podcast directly by becoming members of the show's Patreon. Here, you'll be able to listen to the podcast 7 days early, completely ad-free. However, in these trying times, we understand that you may not be able to become a Patreon just yet. In that case, please listen to the show once it's available on free feeds, leave us constructive feedback, and share with your blurred friends and family. Thank you.